You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet he hath great riches. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Cool. Well, it's good to be in the pulpit again and to open up the scriptures. And we have finally got our technology moving, which is great. Now, when I teach statistics, there is no leeway for this kind of thing. You've got to have your computer working in statistics. You just have to. There's no such thing as modern statistics without a computer. This does not exist. And so if you go back in time and you look at what used to be done, it's quite miraculous that almost that you could even do anything in statistics. And if you pick up some of these old books, you'll see how much they would rely on tables. And it became very inventive about taking some distribution which was the most appropriate distribution to use for a particular problem, and then somehow corkscrew that thing into making it fit with some sort of Z distribution for a normal, and majoring on various axiomatic and long-run distributions like the central limit theorem, trying to use distribution to force them to work on your problem. Now, of course, these days with the computer, as long as it's working, you don't have to do those sort of things. And so thanks, Champ, for your efforts here. It's been really great. And also I've been looking at the rightdivision.com. I've been so busy, I haven't visited rightdivision.com for some time, just in my busyness, but I've just recently had a look back there, and it's time for me to start researching through there and seeing what I've taught myself. Sometimes I get put on the spot. Now, what did I actually say on such a topic? And so I have to admit that too many words are coming out of my mouth through the week and through the years on all sorts of topics. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today. Lord, we can open up the scriptures and that we have a Bible which is inspired. We can read it and gain instruction. Pray for the country especially, that we'd see leaders raised up that would take into consideration, Lord, the Holy Writ, that will give us instruction for our lives and for the nation, that we would put in place laws and measures and uphold those things which have been written that ensure our freedom. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, right. Well, we won't get into politics, although I'm very tempted to. But there's all sorts of things happening. I don't know whether you follow these debates. They're usually a waste of time. But you do see from time to time some interesting things come up. And there have been some quite interesting things come up just recently. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs. Just to remind you about some of the neat things about Proverbs, if you look at, say, the first chapter and the first verse, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. If you look back in 1 Kings, you see there why the scribes would want to use some of the Proverbs of Solomon right at the very beginning. Because Solomon was known for his great wisdom in writing many lines of Proverbs and songs, and his investigation to various scientific things. People would come from all around the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So have right at the very front the statement, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, to know wisdom, these infinitives, to know these things, to receive instruction, to give subtlety, all these things. And then down further in the last half of verse 6, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then you go through, if you go across to chapter 25. Here you'll see another really neat statement here, verse 1. These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So it was these men who were basically decreed by Hezekiah to put in place the dark sayings of the wise, including Solomon, that a lot of proverbs are recorded for us. At least that's humanly speaking. But when you look at it, God has his inspiration and will work to make sure everything that we need will be written and preserved. And we believe that. Surely the same God who inspired things must also preserve them. I mean, he's promised to preserve us. What do you mean? He can't preserve his word? You mean you believe that the originals were inspired, but you don't believe that he has also preserved his word, but you believe that you will be preserved? And on what basis do you believe that you are? By what you read in the Bible, but you don't believe that it's preserved, but you believe the statements written in the non-preserved Bible? No, it's not making a lot of sense. Not making any sense to do that. So I believe in God's inspiration, and I believe in his preservation as well of the scriptures. And I think that we can come to the scriptures with a lot more confidence. And in chapter 13, we have a really interesting statement. And here I am trying to look for my computer. which is about a wise son heareth his father's instruction. And what a neat way to begin this. And you notice that it is right there on chapter 13. 13. The number of rebellion. And how many sons go wrong here with their rebellious actions, right? And later on in life, they end up regretting. And that's me. In some aspects of my life, I have to say, I think I rebelled against the witness of my father. And then later on in life, have come to totally appreciate what he said and the instruction he gave me personally. And now that he is in his older years, I've got to find some way and clearly to tell him, thank you. He's got to hear that from my mouth, and he's got to look me in the eyes, and I've got to look at him in his eyes, and he's got to hear that from me. You know, he's got to hear that. And so before we carry on with this, which is, you know, it's a really remarkable chapter. Last time we were looking at chapter 12, and notice the pious and the ungodly, their advantages and disadvantages. Lots of great statements here about reproof and the importance of it. And we went through and looked at some of the great examples, and we saw, you know, concerning David. I'm going to move pretty quickly through this because I want to start today with our chapter 13. And you'll notice it's here with reference to temporal, that's in time, and also eternal good. Eternal good. Temporal, that is in time, and then outside of time, the eternal. And this is the issue that I find in the scriptures. I find it right here in chapter 13, emphasized, but it is a property that goes right through the Bible, the temporal and the eternal. The temporal and the eternal. A very important study, I believe. This, here again, looking for something. temporal and eternal good. And so when you look at this first verse, you see a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, this is great in a temporal sense, but in an eternal sense, what about listening to your eternal father, your father in heaven, right? And you know that we've been adopted, right? We have been adopted, and we have been given this place of a son. And the firstborn son is the chief inheritor. It has to do with inheritance. And as I went through this chapter, I just got a tremendous blessing from this chapter because I saw a connection with a doctrine which affects us today. And that's always a great thing. which has to do with this whole matter of inheritance and getting the gift of eternal life separated off with something that we call the reward, which we can lose out on. We can. And if I have time, I will look at that. Okay, let's look in the next verse. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Well, there's a temporal application here. Okay? You eat good by the fruit of his mouth. You say the right things and fruit will come. You use the knowledge you have to speak appropriately and you will indeed eat well from it. I was talking to someone in the math department talking about how to make good decisions and to speak the right things at the right time, and good fruit comes from it. And then it goes on and says this, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Now you can see that the eating is now no longer simply something that has to do with material food. It now has to do with eating something which is metaphorical, spiritual. A man shall eat good of the fruit of his mouth. You think about that, that when you speak, you must speak as if it is food to those who are around you. They're going to eat that. And you, if you are right with your words, you can build someone up. And good food nourisheth, right? You get good food into your system, and man, does it make a difference to you. Oh man, we've been enjoying some of the native fruits from Oklahoma just recently. Oh man, they're nice, sweet things, beautiful things. It says this, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that keepeth, guardeth. If you guard your mouth, you will guard your life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Openeth wide his lips and making a big scene out of it. And speaking before the brain is in gear. You know what I'm saying? We've seen a lot of that, man. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now notice the words shall be made fat. The soul, that's the nephesh, of the sluggard desireth. That's the state of someone who is a sluggard. They are desiring all the time, and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent ones, shall be made fat. And this is a promise that, you need to pay attention to God's knocking at your door. You need to pay attention to the work of the Spirit of God in your life and be receptive to it. A righteous man hateth lying. That is true, isn't it? Man, it's just a sickening thing just to hear lying all the time. But a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Now, that word loathsome has to do with stinking. A wicked man is a stinking creature and cometh to shame. You think about the Lord's statement about the sacrifice. It was a sweet savor in the nostrils of God, the right sacrifice. And then when you see the spiritual application that we are to live with our bodies, a living sacrifice, you can see how that idea of loathsome can come in there if you do not put your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. Isn't that interesting where it starts to use the way? The way. Jesus is the way. The truth, the life. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. You see, righteousness is simply rightness of activity, rightness, doing the right thing according to what God has shown. But wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Yeah, that's right. You can be rich in many different ways, and maketh yourself to appear that you're rich. Unfortunately, we have people doing this in religious circles. They are absolutely lost as geese, and yet they pretend that they are rich in their supposed salvation, which some ridiculous god or some ridiculous religion has offered them, and they have been fooled. There is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. See that? I love the Bible the way it just is plain. Nice and plain. We need plain language. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Humbleness, humility. Yeah. Many times we'll see great Christians like this who have great humility. In reality, they are rich, man. They are rich before God. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. When it says ransom here, it's talking about the covering of a man's life are his riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. Yeah, there's going to be some great riches coming to those who work well on the foundation of Christ. It's coming. But again, this is eternal. This chapter is all about temporal and eternal good. Right? And you have to use your wisdom to get that out of these passages. And it goes on, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Again. So here, I'm just making some statements here by highlighting. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Yeah, that's in the future. And this one here, you can see, this has got to do essentially with the eternal. Now, this brings me to a subject which I've been studying. And I'm not going to go off on a trail here because, well, we won't stay in Proverbs. But this connects very well with a topic which is known as the Book of Life, which people can be blotted out of. And I think really this opens up perhaps a study that we need to get into. But if you notice, the Book of Life finds its place in one of Paul's epistles. And not only that, an epistle which is addressed to people living in our age. I'll just look at that just for a second here. This is in Philippians chapter 4. Right? Here between Ephesians and Colossians. And this is a chapter, Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. Notice how he's talking about these people as my joy and crown. See, your work amongst brethren is going to be looked at. And these proverbs, don't you see them working even today? How that your voice and the words that come out of your mouth, they're going to be food for people. You get the wrong words coming out of your mouth, and man, you're going to give them a McDonald's. You know. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There he goes, there's some reproof. See, you got to, and those people should accept this. They need to unite. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Look at that, yoke fellow. You know, you put a yoke on animals and you bind them together so that they can work together and get the job done for the farmer. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Labored with me in the gospel. There is a labor to this job. With Clement also and with other my fellow. You can't miss this, can you? You can't miss the language. My fellow laborers, these are yoke fellow workers whose names, look at this, are in the book of life. Why does Paul bring up the book of life here? Because these people who get into the book of life get super inheritance. And super inheritance you can miss out on. You can, because you don't run the race. And even in the calling, which is associated with those in the book of Acts, you can see at the judgment seat of Christ there can be loss. Yet they shall be saved. Yet as by fire, it says. Yet as by fire. There's loss. Because some people will not run the race. Now, if you track this through the Bible, especially when you get into the book of Revelation and finally get into chapter 22-21, you'll see in there how people can lose a lot, right? But there are other books that need to be examined. Other books. There are other books to be looked at. And this has to do with the demarcation between the gift and the reward. And look down here. This is from Colossians 3. And verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve, labor, my fellow laborers, my yoke fellow, those who are laboring with me in the gospel. But he that doeth wrong, same group, he's addressing the same group, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, this is what people will do. They will isolate such passages and teach that you can lose your salvation. Paul is teaching no such thing. No such thing. He is talking about the matter of inheritance and super inheritance. I think I need to do something special on this, right? We need to do something very special on this. And spend some time on it. It's very cool. Ephesians 5, you can read it through, but come down to verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Again, you can lose out on inheritance. My question is, what about salvation by grace through faith? See, and that's the issue. And I think we're going to do a study on this, right? We'll open this up and look at it. So in verse 5 it says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh the same. These are the passages we've just looked at. If you come down here, look down further in verse number 12. Hope deferreth maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. The great desire is Jesus Christ. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You'll see temporal applications of this, and you'll see eternal applications of this. And you can see the tree of life is certainly pointing you towards the eternal. Whoso despiseth the word, look at this, despiseth the word, shall be destroyed. Eternal consequences and also temporal. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. See, despiseth the word. Boy, does the world want to do that with the word, right? Wants to despise it. But the end of this is going to be tremendous shame. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. That's right. That's what we need. We need clear instruction. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It is. In the end, it's going to be hard. Temporal applications and eternal applications of this terrible situation. Well, I'm going to stop here because I'm out of time. But this particular chapter has so many neat applications for us today in a temporal sense, but also points you towards that which is eternal. And that which is eternal comes through the finished work of Christ, that we don't have to trust on our own righteousness, but we can see that our life is hid in God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee today for all that Thou hast given us, for the Scriptures which are preserved and kept for us, the book of Proverbs that has so much practical application. And Lord, we ask that You'd bless the ministry online, those that come to listen to the messages and also read the articles and the books and things that can be found there, Lord, that You would enrich them, encourage them, that they would run this race with great reward in the end. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.